Exodus chapter 20, in these 10 commandments, these 10 words that our Lord God has given to us. Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 8. Listen to the word of Christ. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Father, we pray that you would cause all of us together as we stand under your word right now. Father, we pray that what we just sang together would be a reality here, that we would awake, that our souls would awake, and that we would see the glory of our Lord Jesus in your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My hometown was wiped out by Hurricane Katrina about 4 years ago. But there's one building that I'm glad is not there anymore. When I go home, I'm still not over it, still not over seeing all the devastation, but there's one building that I'm actually glad to see wiped out. And that was this old, decrepit, abandoned building that used to be right there on the beach in my hometown, right up across the street from the Gulf of Mexico. And everybody used to get a little quiet and a little nervous whenever we would drive by it. And all the other high school kids in my high school used to always say, let's go down there to the old haunted house sometime and spend the night. I didn't believe in ghosts, but I never spent the night. Because the word was that there were some people that had been murdered in that old house. It used to be a hospital sometime after the Civil War, and some people had been murdered. And the story that was told, and who knows how many times they changed that story as it had been passed down from person to person. Story was that some teenage girls who had been killed in that house, that at night that they would get up and wander through the halls of that house, still trying to find somebody to tell who had killed them. Now, I don't believe that the ghosts of those girls wandered through that house, but it gave us a sense of creepiness whenever we looked at it, because there's something about the whole idea that makes sense to us. The idea of unfinished business. The idea of not being able to get any rest, the idea of being haunted by something that still has to be done. And I think one of the reasons that we're able to make sense of a story like that, as fanciful and as false as it is because so many of us are living lives just like that story. We've got constantly unfinished business. And we are constantly haunted by the searching for rest, for what we're doing to finally be concluded. There are some of you in this room who are really, really hard workers. And you are spending your life at a really frenetic pace, running and running and running and running. And there are some of you in this room that are probably really lazy. And you're spending your life procrastinating what you have to do from day to day or from week to week or from month to month. But that too is exhausting. The very practice of putting everything off and waiting for it to come due. There's some of you in the room right now that are consumed with your jobs and it's weighing you down. There are some of you in this room who have lost your jobs and you're consumed with the exhaustion of finding a new job or with the exhaustion of worry and anxiety about how you're going to be able to make a living. The words that we have just read explain to us a God who understands and commands the need for rest. Now, part of the reason why it's so difficult for us to understand this passage is because we don't really understand rest. When we think of rest, we think of leisure, or we think of stillness, or we think of collapsing on the couch with a bag of Fritos on our stomach, or something like that. But that's not the picture of rest that the Scripture gives. The Scripture gives us a picture of rest that the Bible says is a freedom from your enemies. I will give you, God says, rest from your enemies when you come into the land. What does that mean? It means that you're not constantly fighting and struggling. God has fought for you. God will give you peace. God will give you tranquility. God will give you rest. And God says when He gathers the people of Israel together here at this mountain on Sinai, when it starts quaking and shaking with thunder and with light, He speaks to them and says, you will remember the Sabbath day and you will keep it holy. God says to them what this looks like, that they are to honor a particular day that is to be different from the other days. And He marks it down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then a seventh day that He sanctifies, that He makes different. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the churches suddenly began recognizing through the Holy Spirit that the day that God was marking apart as holy in these last days is the first day of the week. That's the day when the Christians gathered together to worship with one another. That's the day they gathered together to bring their tithes and offerings. That's the day that they gathered together to minister to one another and to equip one another to the carrying out of the Great Commission. This special day, this Lord's Day, a day that God calls holy. Now, what is God doing when He tells us to rest? First thing I want us to notice this morning is that when God is speaking of the Sabbath, He's telling us something about the joy of the rhythm of creation. Notice what God does. He says, remember the Sabbath day. He gives them this specific day in time, and He counts down the other 6 days. He says, this is the reason why I'm giving you a day. He says, because the Lord your God created everything that you see around you in 6 days. He says that when God is creating you to bring forth that bread from the earth in order to eat and in order to provide for your family, that you are actually picturing something that is true about God. Your God is not one big thought. Your God is a God who is dynamic, who labors, who works, who is active. And when you spend your week cutting out donuts or doing taxes for people or making sandwiches at Chick-fil-A or defending a case in court or selling houses or wiring a house, whatever it is that you are giving yourself over to do in labor, you are picturing and imaging God as you are working and laboring those 6 days. After all, the command is not just to rest on the one day. The command is also to labor on the 6 days you will work, 6 days you will labor. He says, but then that special day, that holy day, you will rest. And notice what God says. It's not just that you will rest. He says you will give rest to the people who work for you, even to the animals, He says. Later on, God talks to them about giving rest to the land. Why? Because God understands what any farmer understands. That if you've got a piece of land that you're going to work, you don't just keep working it and working it and working it and working it and working it. That's short-sighted. If you want to have that piece of land continuing to be fruitful and continuing to yield, then you are going to have times in which you let that land rest, in which you leave that land in which it is not producing so that it can produce more later. What God is saying to you is that the same is true with you. The same is true with your body, with your soul, with your mind, with your spirit. It is not that God is saying, make sure on this one day that you go to church and you don't do anything because I'm telling you to do it. Jesus says when he encounters these religious leaders that want to turn the Sabbath into a drudgery, Jesus turns around when he heals people on the Sabbath, and then when he takes food for him and for his disciples on the Sabbath, he says, Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. God is giving you sanctified time. God is giving you a cycle of work and of rest because God loves you. Because God knows your frame. He knows that you are children of dust. He knows that you are weak. And he knows that you need that pattern of work and of rest and of work and of rest. And so he builds it into the week that you have been given. But not only that, God also is saying when he commands us to honor the day that he has set aside, to make it holy and to rest. What we are doing when we honor that commandment is exactly what we are doing when we honor the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. We are recognizing I am not God. One of the things that's happened in my house in recent days, too recently, than I would like to admit, is that I had an issue of conviction of sin about coming in and eating with my family, which I do every single day that I can, eating dinner with my family. But I would bring this thing that has been created somewhere in the depths of Sheol that's known as a blackberry. I don't know if you know what this is. But it is something in which people can reach you with telephone calls or with text messages or with email any time of the day. And so what happens is, and some of you may be in the exact same situation, you spend all day long working, and maybe you work for somebody, maybe you're an employee and somebody's barking at you all day long. Maybe you're an employer and people are whining at you all day long. But you finally get away from all of that to spend time with your family. What do we want to do? We want to sit it right there on the table so that the people who were whining or barking at us can continue to whine and bark. And so while we're sitting there fellowshipping with our family, every time that little goat bleat goes off on the table, what do you want to do? You want to pick it up and see who's there. Why? Because when we're really, really honest, we really don't believe that anybody can get by without us. We really don't believe that unless we are thinking and we are working and we are contributing and we are doing, they're never going to be able to make it. We really believe ultimately that we are a God and not a man, not a woman. That the same thing is true when we don't see and recognize the limits that we have. And so we're not even able to come into a place gathered together in worship. We are not able to sing together, "Worthy is the Lamb." We are not able to hear the declaration of the Word of God that we don't have whirling all through our mind all of the stuff that we are doing the other 6 days. He says, you are no God. remember the Sabbath day, remember to make it holy. But notice also, it's not just that joy of the rhythm of creation, it's also the joy of a remembrance of deliverance. When God repeats this command to the people in the book of Deuteronomy, he says it's not only because God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. He says it's also because you were slaves and God brought you out of Egypt. He says you need to see and to recognize that the God who brought you out of that old way of slavery has brought you into a new land and into a new reality in which you are now resting. That's the reason why God says, I want you to mark a day in which you see and recognize that your whole life isn't work and work and work and work and work and death. In which there is a freedom and a glory that is waiting for you, so that the kind of thing that is causing you to be labored and to be stressed as you are moving along through life, that very thing that is causing that very thing, that day allows you to let go. Allows you to release, allows you to let be gone in your mind. You are no longer a slave. That's the reason why when Jesus is speaking to us, what does he say? He says, you feel like you're being chased by an enemy. You feel like something's coming after you. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The day allows you to rest. But notice also that he is telling us here about the joy of a rest of a new creation. This rest is not sleep. This rest is not just leisure. It is a rest in which we step back and know that God is doing something for us. That's the reason why when Jesus is crucified for us, he is taken down off of that cross before the Sabbath day. He is placed into a tomb. And what happens on the eighth day? God starts a new creation. That's the reason why the joy that we have together as brothers and sisters is that we are not following 6 days followed by a day of rest. We are starting our week off rejoicing in the glory of rest. This is what's happening to us. This isn't the weekend. What we're living through right now is not the end of the weekend. This is the first day of the week. And God says, I want you to see that the life that you are coming into is going to begin with the freedom of being free from whatever is oppressing you, whatever is frustrating you. He says, this is the glory of what I am bringing you into, a glory of rest. So what does that look like? He says, remember the Sabbath day and make it holy. Scripture speaks about honoring the Lord's day. So what does that mean? A lot of times what we want to do is to sit around and to whine about what we can and cannot do on the Lord's day. And I have found myself being on my way to Chick-fil-A and saying to me, oh man, they're closed on Sunday. And then having to be reminded, because the owner is a believer in Jesus Christ, he wants to give his people a day off from work. We sometimes are just so focused on what we can and cannot do because we don't see the joy of what God is giving us in the Lord's Day. Scripture always says that there are works of necessity that are to be done on the Lord's Day. Lord's Day is no burden. People have to work in the hospitals. People have to be policemen. People have to keep the electric power companies going. There are some of you that have to work out of necessity right now to provide for your family, even as you're asking God to provide something else for you, and you have to work on the Lord's day. The people of Israel had to work on the Sabbath when they were slaves in Egypt. What the Lord's day is about is not questioning what can I do and can't do. Imagine the guy in your community that's mowing grass on Christmas. It's a holy day, a holiday. Now, do you drive by him when you see him mowing grass on Christmas? Do you drive by him and say, look at that. He's just not nearly as good a Christian as we are. No. You don't sit there and ask yourself, do I get to cut grass on Christmas? Am I going to be able to mow? Well, I can't mow. It's Christmas. The neighbors are going to see me and it's going to ruin my testimony. You don't do that. When you see the guy mowing grass on Christmas, you say to yourself, that's kind of sad. That's kind of pathetic that he's mowing grass on Christmas. There are so many other things that he could be doing besides mowing grass. Isn't that what you think? Well, the Lord has given to us a holy day every single week, a recreation and a celebration of the Lord's day, of the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead, of the fact that we are free from the curse of all of our enemies. He's given that to us on this Lord's day. So why don't we make it a day of rejoicing? Why don't we do that? In our house, and I'm not imposing this on you, this is just what we do in our house. My kids aren't allowed to drink Coke any other time of the week, but on Sunday, they can have Coke. Not Coke Zero, like I drink, Coke 100, full stuff. Sugar, caffeine, everything. They don't have it before church services. We have it after church services are over with, but they're able to do that, and the reason we do it is because I want them to see that Sunday is a day that is special, and it is a day that is special not because of what we can't do. It's a day that is special because of what we are rejoicing in doing. Jesus is raised from the dead. The curse is lifted. We have the freedom to love each other and to be with one another and to share fellowship with one another and to be different from what we're doing all of the rest of the week when we're just striving. Why is it Sunday that day of great rejoicing for you? Why is it that for some of you, the end of a service is on your mark, get set, amen, and you're out the door? And right back to whatever it was that you were doing the whole rest of the week, whether that's working or shopping or playing video games. Why isn't a Sunday a day in which we are so happy to be with our brothers and sisters, in which we are so happy to be ministering to one another, ministering all over the city and in the places that the Lord has given to us, and being with one another and being thankful to God for the breath and the life that He has given to us? It's because we don't recognize the goodness of this day, and we don't recognize the kind of world that we have been created for, a world that the writer of Hebrews says there is a Sabbath rest that remains for the people of God. That if Joshua had been able to give rest when he brought the people into the land, they wouldn't have spoken of a day that is yet to come. But in Christ, we have been given rest in which no one is tracking us down anymore. No one is holding our conscience captive anymore. No one is accusing us anymore, because Jesus Christ of Nazareth isn't dead anymore. So why aren't we rejoicing and celebrating in that on this day? He says, remember the world that you have come into, and remember the kind of rest that God has given to you. The rest that is waiting for you is not the rest of a ghost. It is not a staring into a light, thinking about all of the things that you could have been doing back when you were living. It is Jesus feasting with you and feeding you. It is Jesus gathering you together with all of your brothers and sisters, people you know and people you don't know, and sending you out on a mission of joy together. That's what rest is. So why don't we picture that in what we're doing every single week? Some of you don't, because you don't know what rest is. Some of you this morning are haunted and tormented by your conscience. Some of you this morning are striving to hold back the accusations. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are burdened, who are heavy laden. He says, I'll give you rest. If you cry out for mercy, no matter what it is that you have done, no matter what it is that you have done, he will forgive you through the shed blood and empty tomb of the Lord Jesus. I guarantee it. There are others of you in this room who have no rest, even though you follow Christ. But because you somehow believe that there is a God who is leaving everything about your life and your future up to you, repent. Relax. Stop striving. Know that there is a Father who will provide you with bread. There is a Father who gives you what you need. There is a Father who knows what you need. And there is a Father who says to you once a week, and there is a Father who says to you all of the time in Christ, I have given you what you need right here. Some of us need to be reminded of that. Some of us need to see what it means to rest in peace. There are some of you in this room who don't know Christ. There's some of you in this room who don't know whether or not you know Christ. I want to invite you right now. Pray right where you are. Oh, Father, give me rest. Count the crucifixion of Jesus as my crucifixion. Count the resurrection of Jesus as my resurrection. Pray that to the Father in the depths of your soul. I promise you he'll hear you. There will be men and women who will be standing up here at the end of this service who will be able to show you how you can come to know Christ. There are others of you in this room who say, I don't have rest because I've got a burdened conscience. Maybe there's something in my life I need somebody to pray with me about. Maybe some of you don't have rest because you say there's somebody else in this room that I need to forgive or I need to ask to forgive me. Maybe others of you in this room who say, I don't have rest because I'm anxious and I'm fearful and I need somebody to pray with me. There'll be men and women up here who are able and willing and ready to talk with you and to pray with you right after this service is over. What I would call you to today is not just the rest of one day. I would call you to the rest of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessing. Father, I ask for whatever decisions that you have to be made. Father, I ask that you would prompt those hearts, that you would prompt those consciences, that you would let yourself be known in this place through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray all of these things. Amen.